Well, folks, I have to make a confession tonight. I'm a product of the 80s, and that's something that I used to be proud of. I'm not so sure I'm proud of it anymore. And one of the things about being a product of the 80s, and by the way, if you're trying to do math, I graduated high school in 1988. That makes me 45 years old. I'm trying to add that up. 45 years old. And one of the things that happened when I turned 45 is I was given some bad news. And the bad news is something I've been wrestling with for some time. Last year, I went to Sam's Club to my optometrist, and don't laugh, they do have an optometrist at Sam's Club, and that's where I go. We spend a lot of time there. So I went to Sam's Club, and the guy said, "Chad, I've got really bad news for you." And I said, "Oh, no." I said, "What's the bad news?" And he said, "You know, you're getting ready to turn 45. And I said, "Yeah, I know." And he said, "You're going to lose your vision." And I said, "I've already lost my vision." And he said, no, I mean, literally, you're going to have to make a choice. And this was a year ago. And I said, "Well, what's the choice?" And he said, "When you turn 45, you're either going to have to choose to see up close or far away." And I said, "But I can't have both." He said, "You can't have both." And so I realized this. I said, "Well, it won't happen to me because I'm a product of the 80s. I can overcome anything." And this year, on May 15th, I turned 45 years old and lost my vision. And so I went back into Sam's Club, and the guy said, "I told you so." Now, that wasn't very nice of the optometrist at Sam's Club to make that joke. And so he put me in, fitted me with new contacts. And folks, I can tell you, it has been nothing short of a struggle. So tonight, I can see all of you just fine, but I'm not sure I can see everything so well up here. And I'm struggling with this. I'm growing with this. And I realized, as I was thinking back to the 80s, I was thinking there were some things that you could always count on in the 80s. And one is, if you turned on the radio, you would hear Bryan Adams. I mean, Bryan Adams is like the biggest artist of the 80s, I think, along with others. And so anyway, for years, we have been trying to incorporate this song into our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Our choir had attempted it at one time. We kind of shelved it. And I called our choir director, Velma, and I said, "I got this song. You know this song. I've got this idea for Christmas Eve. We need to do this, and I want to do it together." And so tonight, bad eyesight and all, we are bringing the 80s right back to you in this Christmas Eve candlelight service. So there you go. So next week, no Bryan Adams. We'll come up with something else like Culture Club or you know, something like that. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. All right. Welcome to Christmas time. It has arrived. You have arrived. This is a special night, folks. Tonight, you get to spend time with your family members and friends. You have plans. You might have already eaten. You're going to go out and do some fun things. But tonight, you said, "We want to be in the Colville Community Church, worshiping Jesus Christ and his immaculate and wonderful birth." You know, Bryan Adams was right. I never thought I would stand at the Colville Community Church quoting Bryan Adams, but we're going to do this tonight. He says there is something special about Christmas time, and that special something makes us wish that it was Christmas every day. Unless, of course, you're a rapper and a shopper and a baker and a decorator, at which point you probably say, No, I'm glad this is it. I'm glad it's over, and I get that. All right, so but tonight, I'm doing it again with the Bryan Adams thing. Tonight, we get to see the joy in the children's eyes. Tonight, we realize and we see the old folks smile. I feel like I'm one of those folks tonight that's smiling. And quite frankly, we probably wouldn't mind if Christmas was every day. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is, I will tell you, in the first service, we had about 170 people in here. One guy raised his hand, and he regretted it for the rest of the night. So I will warn you, do not raise your hand. You may know this. I hope you don't. How many people have ever heard of the Vince Guaraldi Trio? Really? All right. Okay. Oh, Mark. All right. So we have one guy. There's always, you know, there's the line. There's always one guy. All right. You might not know them, he knows. You might not know them by name, but I promise that you will remember them through sound. In 1965, the Vince Guaraldi Trio, along with the St. Paul's Children's Church Choir from San Rafael, California, went into studio, and they recorded this Christmas song from this famous Christmas show. Take a look and listen.
Time of need. So thanks in think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
All right, folks. Well, and again, now when you watch this show, you can amaze people by saying, I know who the Vince Guaraldi Trio is. And because this young man in this row said that he knew him, you've got to come up here and sing, Christmas time is here. No, you're not going to do that, right? The other guy was very upset that he raised his hand when I said that. So, yeah, I'm not going to make you do it. I'm just going to read the words. You know, it's hard when you're watching this show, and we've watched it for hundreds and hundreds of times. It's hard to hear the words from that children's choir. But here's what they say. Christmas time is here. Happiness and cheer. Fun for all that children call their favorite time of the year. Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden times and ancient rhymes of love and dreams to share. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere, Yuletide by the fireside and joyful memories there. Christmas time is here, families drawing near. Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the year. You know, I think Bryan Adams and the Vince Guaraldi Trio might have been on to something. You see, there is truly something special about Christmas time. But what is it? And how is it? And why is it? Many new Bible readers, maybe even some unbelievers, might look at the first Christmas time as recorded, and we're going to approximate here in Matthew 2, 1 through 20, and then Luke 2, 1 through 20, and lead these naysayers of the Nativity to believe there is really nothing that special about that night at all. And some people might even feel that way. You know, I mean, if you look at it, they may have something of a point. I mean, it's a story of shepherds and astrologers and an unimportant Judean village and swaddling clothes and a manger. And we look at that and we say, you know, that really doesn't even look like something. That, for many, might say that looks like nothing. I mean, there was no room in the village inn. There was no kingly throne. There was no royal celebration, no costly clothes, nothing. And yet millions and millions of people tonight are celebrating the birth of Christ in churches just like this throughout the world because they see Christmas time as something special and something meaningful, something joyful. You know, God took this nothingness of modest means and he spun it into something that millions of people recognize and rejoice over tonight. I mean, there's a lot of special about this story. A virgin birth, an army of angels, a guiding star given by God that shone over the Messiah's manger. The landscape adorned with the glory of the Lord. And a baby in that manger that would become the greatest teacher and leader and prophet and healer and central figure of the human race and the Savior and giver of all man, life, to all of mankind and eternal life. You see, Jesus Christ is indeed something special. And that's why we gather here tonight. Because we have a special purpose for a special reason. And that special reason is that we see something that maybe others don't. That tonight we see Jesus Christ as our leader and our teacher and our healer. And tonight we're going to have the opportunity to make him our Savior. You see, many claim the birth of Jesus Christ that night to be nothing, but I proclaim Jesus' birth that we celebrate tonight as something. We're part of that something. You see, when you gather here tonight, when you said, we're going to go to the little town of Covell tonight, you might have said, I don't know what I'm going to see at this service. I don't know if the pastor's going to talk about Jesus. I don't know anything that's going to be shared tonight, but I hope it's something. Well, tonight I can tell you this. He's the reason we're here. He is our something. Doctor of Theology Irving Jensen claims that, quote, the greatest event in world history, the birth of Jesus Christ, took place without the notice of the world. Well, tonight, folks, let me assure you of this. The world is taking notice. Because tonight we realize that God made something out of what many people just might call nothing. Let me read to you Luke 1, 45 through 55. It really becomes our Christmas sermon text for tonight. Let me introduce you to this real quick. We've got two pregnant ladies. That's always a good way to start. Two pregnant ladies. We have Elizabeth, who's going to give birth to John the Baptist. We have Mary, who's going to give birth to Jesus. Some speculated that they were related. In any case, they are going to have a conversation, as only two pregnant ladies can. And here we go. Elizabeth goes to Mary, and Elizabeth says, "You believed that God would do what he said. That is why he has given you this wonderful blessing." Mary responded, "Oh, how I praise the Lord. How I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And now generation after generation forever shall call me blessed of God. For he, the mighty Holy One, has done great things to me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who reverence him. How powerful is his mighty arm. How he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has torn princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry hearts and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He's not forgotten his promise to be merciful. For he promised our fathers, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever." A lowly servant girl would be the mother of the Savior of the world. Doesn't that sound strange? I mean, that's not a story you would typically hear, right? That sounds like something becoming, or something coming from nothing. Princes dethroned, the lowly exalted and enshrined, the hungry would be healthy, the rich would be empty. Folks, only God can make something out of nothing. You know, in Job 40, verse 4, after encountering God, Job said, "I am nothing." And then later in Job 42, 10 through 17, God turned around and gave Job everything. If we read 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, I'm going to read these words. Listen to what Paul says about this. He chimes in and he shares what we're talking about tonight. He says, "Notice among yourselves, dear brothers, that few of you who follow Christ have big names or power or wealth. Instead, God has deliberately chosen to use the ideas the world considers foolish and of little worth in order to shame those people considered by the world as wise and great." Listen to verse 28. "He has chosen a plan despised by the world, counted as nothing at all, and used it to bring down to nothing those the world considers great, so that no one anywhere can brag in the presence of God. For it is from God alone that you have your life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan of salvation. He was the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy and gave himself to purchase our salvation. And as it says in the scriptures, if anyone is going to boast, let him boast only of what the Lord has done." Tonight, we celebrate what the Lord has done. Jesus said in John 15, 5, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." See, this is where a lot of people are at tonight. They gather and they congregate in churches worldwide. And I think that people probably come into the presence of God, and I think that probably tonight they've tried to make Christmas something through events and presents and worldly things, and yet their Christmas time is still steeped in nothing. And maybe they feel like nothing. And maybe they've said, "I am a nothing." And God says, wait a second. I gave this world my son, your savior. You see, tonight we have something. We have something to lean on. We have something to live for, and we have something to believe in, and that is a savior named Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate tonight. I look at the show. I've watched this show 100 times, the Peanuts Christmas, and every time I think about poor Charlie Brown, because Charlie Brown really didn't see it. In fact, Charlie Brown needed his friend Linus to show him why Christmas was special, and it was because, not of the Christmas tree, by the way, I know you think it's a tree, it's not the tree, but because Linus introduced Charlie Brown to Jesus. That's what made that night special. Even Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself, and we can do nothing without the Son. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, probably one of the most powerful and memorable passages in all of Scripture, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's something. You see, God has made Christmas time something special. But it's interesting because God has also made his children special, empowered, influential people. And that's what we know tonight. And we're reminded of this tonight. And when someone says, I feel like nothing, God says on this Christmas Eve, let me show you something. Let me give you an example of that. Two men, one Christian, both seriously ill, occupied the same hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each afternoon to help drain the fluid from his lungs. His bed was next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all of his time flat on his back. The men talked for hours on end. They spoke of their wives and their families, their homes, their jobs, their involvement in the military service, where they had been on vacation, all the things of lives past. Every afternoon when the Christian man in the bed by the window could sit up, he would pass the time by describing to his roommate all the things that he could see outside that window. The man in the other bed began to live for those one-hour periods where his world would be broadened and enlivened by all the activity and color of the world outside. Ducks and swans played on the water while children sailed their model boats. Young lovers walked arm in arm amidst flowers of every single color, and a fine view of the city skyline could be seen in the distance. As the man by the window described all this in exquisite detail, the man on the other side of the room would close his eyes and imagine the picturesque scene. One warm afternoon, the Christian man by the window described a parade passing by. And although the other man couldn't hear the band, he could see it in his mind's eye as the Christian by the window portrayed it with such descriptive words. Days and weeks passed. One morning, the day nurse arrived to bring water for their baths, only to find the lifeless body of that Christian man by the window who had died peacefully in his sleep. She was saddened. She called the hospital attendants immediately to take the body away. As soon as it seemed appropriate, the other man asked if he could be moved next to that window. The nurse was happy to make the switch, and after making sure he was comfortable, she left him alone. Slowly, painfully, he propped himself up on one elbow to take his first look at the real world outside that window. He strained to slowly turn and look out the window beside the bed, and to his amazement, it faced a brick wall. The man asked the nurse what could have compelled his deceased roommate who had described such wonderful things outside the window. The nurse responded that the man was blind and couldn't even see the wall. She said, perhaps he just wanted to encourage you. Very few people are able to make nothing into something. At Christmas time, God has. And tonight, we see that Jesus is. You see, through Jesus, we become those somethings. In fact, through Jesus, we can look at our own lives and we study our own lives, and especially on this Christmas Eve night, we look at ourselves and we say that God has made us something. When I was growing up, my mom and dad used to have a line. They would say, yeah, you're something. And by the way, that was not a compliment. That was never good. I mean, that was not. I'd rather they said you're nothing. It would have meant more. You're something. But here's what I know. I know tonight on this Christmas Eve that we can all, through Jesus Christ, be something. The question is, are we willing? In John 1, 45 and 46, Philip went off to look for Nathanael. And when he had found him, he told him, he says, we have found the Messiah. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And here is what Nathanael said. He said, Nazareth? Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Well, tonight we know that something greater than good comes from there. And we celebrate that something and that someone, God's son, in here. You see, it's never easy to make something out of nothing. Let me give you an example. A young lady calls her boyfriend and says, please come over and help me. I have a killer jigsaw puzzle. I cannot figure out how to get it started. Her boyfriend asks, well, what's it supposed to be when it's finished? The young lady says, well, according to the picture on the box, it's a tiger. So her boyfriend decides to go over and help her with the puzzle. She lets him in and shows him where she has the puzzle spread all over the table. He studies the pieces for a moment, then looks at the box and turns to her and says, First of all, no matter what you do, we're not going to be able to assemble these pieces into anything resembling a tiger. He takes her hand and he says, secondly, I just want you to relax. Let's go have a hot cup of tea and let's put all of these frosted flakes back in the box. Now, you'll never eat frosted flakes the same way again, will you? Looks like a jigsaw puzzle. Here's the thing I will tell you. The thing I will tell you is it is not easy to make something out of nothing. But we try. We try to do it. You see, making something out of nothing is oftentimes more difficult than it seems. Perhaps you're feeling that way tonight. Perhaps your Christmas celebration has not been all that you wanted it to be. Perhaps you will say, we haven't been all that God wants us to be. You might say nothing's gone right. Christmas isn't right. And I feel like I'm nothing tonight. And I tell you this, that God says you're something. You're something. And there's something to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, if we're thinking like this, if we're thinking we're nothing, it's nothing, he's nothing, well, then we've missed the point of Christmas time. Because this is not what God intended Christmas time to be. He took a lowly servant girl and made her the mother of the Savior of the world. He exalts the lonely, folks. He feeds the hungry. He loves us. He makes us. He gives us something. And someone greater than anything. And that is why and how Christmas time becomes so special. This tonight is how he empowers and encourages his people. So tonight, we're called on this Christmas Eve night to be something, to do something, because this world needs us, and this world needs Jesus. We've been doing the Christmas Eve candlelight services for a long time. In fact, Velma and I were talking, she was walking in tonight, and her comment was, we've been doing this for a long time. And we both realized that we started when we were 12, so that's good. We're both very young, right? That's what it feels like. Sure. And you know, I look back at all the years of offering Christmas Eve candlelight services at the Covell Community Church. We have more people in our services than that live in the community of Covell. This is a special night, and it just seemingly just gets bigger and bigger. But I realized that there was something I've never done in the Covell Community Church on Christmas Eve night. And as a pastor, it seems strange that I would never, ever give you, the congregants, the opportunity to welcome Jesus Christ into your lives and make him your Savior. Tonight, we're going to have that opportunity. Because tonight in this church, God wants all of us to be those somethings. There are things to be done in this world. Lives to be changed. People to be shared with. All kinds of folks to be loved. And it shouldn't take Christmas Eve to remind us, but tonight, we're going to use Christmas Eve to bring us closer to Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do. Tonight, you're going to have the most wonderful opportunity, a gift that I can give every single person, and it cost us everything. We're going to give you Jesus Christ. And you're going to have the opportunity tonight to leave this church. You'll leave this church, and you're going to have the opportunity to walk with Jesus and live with Jesus and make him your Savior and dedicate your life to him, not only tonight, but every day for the rest of your life. Folks, this is an opportunity that is not only special, this is an opportunity that's eternal. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't offer it to you tonight. So I ask that we bow our heads. And I ask that we close our eyes. And let me lead us in prayer tonight as we seek out our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to live inside of us and to be part of us. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, our hearts are filled with joy and celebration because this is a special night. This is the eve of the birth of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. This is why we are here, to celebrate him. But for many of us, we may not even know him. We may not have a relationship with him. And we know tonight that to inherit eternal life, we have to believe in Jesus, we have to love Jesus, and we have to live for Jesus. That is what you ask of us. This is what's special. And tonight I pray that we would do just this. I pray that if we do not have that relationship, that right now that we would ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to forgive us of all of our sins, to take us to a place of redemption, to help us to see that we cannot do anything on our own, but rather we can do everything through Jesus, and especially since he came in on this earth, he was born for us and he died for us. This is what we ask tonight, Tonight we ask that you would bring us closer to Jesus. And tonight we ask that every single heart that's gathered here in this congregation would be filled and moved by the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus and live for Jesus and love Jesus. And when they walk out of this door, they will receive the most wonderful present and gift ever received, the gift of eternal life. This is what we ask for tonight on this Christmas Eve. And we ask it according to your will. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. So let me ask you this. Do you see him taking those broken puzzle pieces of your life, not frosted flakes, by the way, and moving you to a place where he wants you to be? Do you see him drawing all of you closer together? Do you see him valuing your family like you value your family? Tonight, do you want to be part of what Jesus Christ has for us? You see, when man sees nothing in himself, in Christmas or in Jesus, God sees and reveals something. It happened over 2,000 years ago in the little town of Bethlehem, and it can and it will happen tonight in this little town outside of Bloomington. And so I pray and I hope that you will allow God and his son to be part of your Christmas this season. And I hope that you will be allowed tonight to allow yourself to bring him into your life. And you'll say this, this was something I should have done years ago. This is something that makes my night, but takes me beyond this night through the rest of my life for years to come. That's what Jesus can do. See, this is a special night. And I will tell you this, and I will quote Bryan Adams again. There is something special about Christmas time. And I will quote the Vince Guaraldi trio again. And for many, it is our favorite time of the year. But tonight, if you've made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior over your life, this will be the greatest night of your life. Tonight at the Covell Community Church, it is always our goal, and hopefully we've done this, to give you something special. Tonight, in the Covell Community Church, you've been given a gift, an opportunity, and it is eternal. That is what we're excited about tonight. Well, folks, it comes a time, there is a time when we get to do something kind of cool in this church. This is neat. So here's what we're going to do. As part of tradition, folks, I will tell you, we used to light candles. Then we had so many people in the church, we said, we're going to burn this place down. And we've already broken fire code. It's not safe for us to do this. So we went with the safer candles. Here's the thing. I've had three people that said, I don't know how to do this. So and I was one of those. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Turn the bulb. That's all you got to do. Just turn your bulb on. And then my daughter Jillian is going to cut the lights. And folks, as part of our Christmas celebration and something that we love to do every year right here in the Covell Community Church on December 24th, we are going to shut the lights down in this church. We're going to turn our candles on, and we are going to sing one of our favorite songs that celebrates and emulates Christmas season as we know it. Let's all stand. Lights ablaze. Let's stand up. See those candles. Jillian, will you do the honors? I don't know if you get the same view that I do up here, but folks, I can tell you it is such a beautiful view to see the candles shining and see your faces glowing as we sing this song. And I am grateful for each and every one of you to join us here at the Covell Community Church tonight. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing all of these individuals here tonight as family and friends that gather together. And I pray tonight that we will put Jesus among the center of our lives. I pray that he'll be our priority. And I pray tonight that you would move us to a relationship with him so we can celebrate his birth, not only tonight, but every day and every night. And I pray tonight that as we have made decisions for Jesus Christ, whether it was today or years ago, I pray that we will live like Christ and love him and believe in him. And I pray tonight that you would help us to see the necessity of changing this world and sharing Jesus with this world in every place that we go and everybody that we see. Thank you for this wonderful gift that you've given us. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his life. We remember his death, but we are reminded that his resurrection supersedes all. This is what we cling to tonight. Thank you for all that you've blessed us with. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we are going to sing one more song. This is one of those Christmas hymns you got to sing, and this is one of those that you got to sing loud. I actually said this in the first service, and it was loud. So Velma's probably going to play a little faster, a little louder, which is hard for her to do because she is already fast and loud. So here we go. So let's turn that thing up. By the way, folks, keep the candles lit because you're not going to be able to see otherwise. Let's do this. Joy to the world. Here we go. The honors. Here we go. We're back to regular scheduled programming. Okay. Well, folks, before we depart tonight, you're going to get on with all your family celebrations. I got to do a few thank yous here. First and foremost, I got to thank, and by the way, if you're saying, where did the choir go? They had dinners. They were going. So they stuck around for second service, but they said, Chad, I hope you don't mind. We can go feed our people. I said, that's not a problem. So to the Covell Community Church Choir, Velma Runyard, who's been overseeing the choir for years, thank you, choir members. You did a great job. We finally did the Bryan Adams thing. That was great. So in addition, Addie McMullen, I don't know if you noticed this. We put this on here. It kind of hit it, but do you realize that Addie McMullen sung a song by the band Hanson? And if you're saying, that band? Even the kids? Yeah, it's the kids. But they're no longer kids. They're men. In fact, if you go on YouTube, you can see Hanson. They've grown up. They don't look like they used to. So anyway, Addie, great job. We've never sung Hanson in the Covell Community Church. We did it tonight. In addition, to each and every person who helped out with this long and really wonderful celebration, because it takes a lot of work. We're estimating over 220 people that gathered here in Covell tonight. To everybody that helped out, volunteered, and worked, thank you so much for your work. It's a collaborative effort. It takes everybody to do it. We are grateful. Lastly, on behalf of the Covell Community Church, my Sparks family, we thank you for being a part of our Christmas Eve celebration. We wouldn't even know how to celebrate without you. This has just become a tradition for so many of us, and we are grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for choosing to spend your night with us. Now we ask that you go out, have fun, eat food, celebrate. Folks, it's the world's biggest birthday party, and we're all invited. Merry Christmas to everyone. God bless.